Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's do it. Fourth and final hour on a Thursday. Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We welcome you back in coast to coast, whether you're listening to us on your great local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, SiriusXM Channel 206, or on the radio.com application. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. It's time for a news brief. Stu Kovacs, please hit it.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
We start things off with Wes Welker, the former Patriot, Dolphin, and Denver Broncos wide receiver, was on sports radio WEEI in Boston, and he said Tom Brady doesn't regret the New England ending. He's just focused on the new challenge in Tampa.
I think he's just excited to play football, and you know, Tom just wants to play ball. And, you know, so I think for him, he's just excited to, he's got some weapons down there in Tampa. And I think he's just excited to get out there and play ball. And it's another challenge for him of in his mind, I'm sure, like proving people wrong that, you know, he can – He doesn't have to be in New England to be great.
Let's be real. I didn't want to see Tom Brady leave the New England Patriots. I wanted to see Belichick and Brady only be Patriots together. Now that's not the case. Belichick's still the coach of New England. Brady now the quarterback of Tampa Bay. Even though I hate seeing Tom Brady on a different team, I will admit it is going to be exciting as a football fan to see what happens with Tom Brady at 43 in Tampa Bay with the new head football coach, someone that's very respected in Bruce Arians, and you have an offense with two wide receivers who were 1,000-yard wide receivers with Jameis Winston. And Mike Evans is a heck of a receiver. Chris Godwin is a heck of a wide receiver too. Now you get a quarterback that your numbers are going to get even better, and also your defense is going to be thankful of that quarterback, because even with Brady at his worst, he's not going to be throwing 30 interceptions. Even Brady at his worst, what? Going to throw 14, 15 picks? So this is a heck of a move for Tampa Bay. It is an A++ move for Tampa Bay. Let's hear more Wes Welker. And Wes Welker recalls his time in New England, especially as a teammate of Tom Brady's.
You want to talk about the ultimate competitor. I mean, if guys aren't hitting on all cylinders, like, Tom's going to let you know about it. And he'll do that in practice. He'll definitely do it in games. I was starting to get pissed at Tom. I was like, yeah, screw this guy, man. He's all over me with this stuff. Like, but it was good. Like, he just wanted to win.
That's also Wes Welker on the Greg Hill Show on Sports Radio WEI. Stuart Kovacs, if you had to take a guess, what's the most amount of picks Tom Brady has ever thrown in his career in a single season?
In a single season, I will say
8. 14.
Wow.
He's thrown 14 a few times. 2002, 2004, 2005. 2005, actually, it was 2006 season. He was throwing to Doug Gabriel and Rishay Caldwell. But ever since 2007, here are the interception numbers. Since 2007, 8. You wipe out 08 because he was hurt. 2009, 13. 2010, 4. 2011, 12. 2012 had 8. 2013, 11. 2014, 9 picks. 2015, 7 interceptions. 2016, 2 picks. 2017, 8 picks. And then in 2018 and 2019, 11 picks and 8 interceptions. So from 2007 on, the most amount of picks that he's had in a single season were 13. And in the last 5 years, the most amount of picks he's had was 11. So clearly, they're getting an upgrade at quarterback just when you have the name Tom Brady up against Jameis Winston. But the turnovers and the lack of turnovers that Tom Brady does throw, that's where you're going to see the biggest reward for the Buccaneers, and only the offensive side of the ball, but the defensive side of the ball as well. Next up, we go to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network on how the Colts chose Philip Rivers over Tom Brady.
They scouted Tom Brady extensively along with several other quarterbacks. And while Frank Reich talked about the things he loved about Brady, he thought the tape really was phenomenal. And obviously, Brady, you know, one of the all-time greats. That goes without saying. They believed that Philip Rivers was a better fit for them, in part because of the familiarity that he had with offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni, with Frank Reich himself, with Jason Michael, the tight ends coach. That was one factor. Another factor is Tom Brady signed a 2-year fully guaranteed deal with the Bucs. Doesn't seem like the Colts were willing to go there. By the way, Andrew, they also did more than that as far as scouting-wise. They looked into a potential trade for Nick Foles, didn't want to give up a draft pick there, thought Rivers was a better option. They did the same for Andy Dalton, who would have probably needed maybe to alter his salary to come to Indy. In the end, they believe that Rivers has more than enough left to give them 1 year and potentially more after that.
Stu, can you explain this to me? Because I'm baffled by it. If you're the Colts, you would have rather had either 3 years of Nick Foles, who's never played a full 16 games, a year of Philip Rivers at a guaranteed $25 million, or would you rather have Tom Brady at 2 years of $50 million guaranteed? Who would you rather have if you're the Colts and you're making that decision?
Definitely Brady. 2 years of Brady, 100%, every time.
It makes zero sense to me. That's their thinking. And I know we usually praise Chris Ballard. We praise Frank Reich. But on this one, they are dead wrong. It makes zero sense to be able to trade something to bring in Nick Foles and have him on a 3-year deal. And then it makes zero sense compared to Tom Brady. If Brady would have even gone there, that's a different question. But let's operate and let's assume as if he would have, just for the argument's sake of this conversation. You're telling me you'd rather have Philip Rivers for 1 year at $25 million guaranteed when Philip Rivers, who I think is a Hall of Fame quarterback, but he has never been to a Super Bowl and he's coming off a really bad year. You'd rather have him for 1 year than Tom Brady, who when you look at the last 3, 4, 5 years, has been to Super Bowls and has won Super Bowls. Yeah, the guy went to 3 straight Super Bowls, has one down season with his whole offensive line banged up, wide receivers banged up, guys that can't get separation or catch the football, and you're telling me you rather go with Philip Rivers for 1 or Nick Foles for 3 and give something up? It makes no sense. It makes zero, 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 zero sense. Now, I don't think Brady would have gone to the Indianapolis Colts. But 2 years, $50 million, if you could have got it, and you're the Colts, you should have done that. But that wasn't the case. Next up, we stay with the NFL Network. This is Ian Rappaport explaining why the Cowboys signed Aldon Smith, who hasn't played football in 4 years and has a litany of off-the-field problems.
Before yesterday, it seemed that the Dallas Cowboys were done with free agency, and it also seemed like Aldon Smith, the former star pass rusher for the San Francisco 49ers and the Oakland Raiders, that he was done with football too. Instead, late on Wednesday night, all of that changed. The Dallas Cowboys sources say signed Aldon Smith, who has not been in the league since 2015, to a one-year contract worth a maximum of $4 million. Of that contract, $2 million is in the base value, $2 million extra available in sack incentive. As far as how this happened, Aldon Smith has been in rehab, has been getting his life back together, and has officially applied for reinstatement after several suspensions back to the NFL. While that is pending an ongoing process, he is allowed to sign a contract. The Cowboys are allowed to bring him on board, and obviously, just by the fact that they signed the former Pro Bowler means they are confident that he's going to get through reinstatement and be eligible to be back on the field. And in 2020, that's going to be for the Dallas Cowboys.
We stay with the football, but we go from the NFL to college. Earlier, or going back to last week, I believe, Kirk Herbstreit was very skeptical that we were going to have college football or the NFL in the fall. A few college coaches didn't like that. One was the head football coach of Notre Dame and Brian Kelly, and he ripped Kirk Herbstreit on WSBT 96.1 FM.
If anybody can really predict what's going to happen next week, they should be in the stock market. I heard Kirk Herbstreit come out last week and say, no way. I mean, Kirk does not know what he's talking about. I mean, really, you know, for him to, you know, talk in those terms, he's not a scientist. He's a college football analyst. So we'll let the scientists determine those things. We'll prepare and know what we need to do and put things in place. Knowing full well that we'll need some preparation time, but we're going to stay positive and prepare as if we're going to have a season in the fall.
Stu, you being Mr. Notre Dame football, are you on the side of Brian Kelly or Kirk Herbstreit?
I'm on Herbstreit's side. I mean, he's just saying what he thinks. He's not trying to, you know, prove anything with any research or data. Like, I understand Kelly wants to be optimistic, but this time, like, who knows? Nobody knows. I mean, I'm on Herbstreit's side here.
Yeah, I'm all right with Kirk Herbstreit having an opinion. Now, Brian Kelly, it seems as if he's not a fan of predictions. Is that safe to say, Stu?
Yes, that's fair to say, yes.
Well, I'll make a prediction here. As long as Brian Kelly is the head coach of Notre Dame will never win a college football playoff game that matters. So, therefore, actually, let me correct that. He'll never win a national championship at Notre Dame. And you know what? I'll even go with what I said first. Let me correct the correction. Brian Kelly's never going to win a game that matters. He'll never win a college football playoff game. We saw him with Alabama, up against Alabama with that Manti Te'o team, and that was a team that didn't even show up. And then a few years ago, they get a college football playoff. Everyone saw me, how great Notre Dame is. Unbelievable football team, unbelievable football team, and they got waxed. Enough of Brian Kelly. Now, I'll make a prediction. He will never win a college football playoff game at Notre Dame. We go to the next cut. Here's Frank Isola on Kevin Durant's possible comeback if the NBA returns this year. This audio courtesy of our friends at SiriusXM NBA Radio.
There was a time like in December, probably, maybe even early January, there was this people like, you know, things were floating around the Nets that the idea was that Kevin Durant was going to play. And a big part of it was going to be where they kind of were in the playoffs. If they were the eighth seed against the Milwaukee Bucks, was he going to play? Who knows? But then Kyrie Irving got hurt, and it was, well, now it's probably not going to happen. He's going to return for the playoffs if Kyrie's available. This changes everything.
For sure.
Because right now the season is suspended. We don't even know if the season is coming back. But if it does and it's further down the road where Kyrie Irving could play and so could Kevin Durant, why wouldn't they come back?
I don't know about this one. Once again, we're operating in an unknown. You know what? That would be crazy. Right now, the Raptors would play the Nets in the first round. If you and KD and Kyrie have to be 100% healthy. You can't rush it. But can you imagine the debut for KD in a Nets uniform is in Las Vegas somewhere with no fans in the building in July or August, and you have the Raptors going up against the Nets? I think a lot of people, just based off KD, and no disrespect to Toronto, I love that story this year with Nick Nurse and Pascal Siakam and Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet. think you get a lot of people just off the name recognition that would pick the Nets, though, in that series. Anyway, though, regardless of the NBA returns or not, I just don't think KD or Kyrie are going to get back on a basketball court, and they're going to start things off next year. But there is that appeal. If they're healthy, they may think, okay, we could get on a run and do some damage. And if you win one series, you never know what could happen after that. Let's go to Titans general manager John Robinson. He's optimistic that Derrick Henry wants to hammer out a long-term deal.
I think any time a player, when you have to use that you know, the tag on them, that's something that ideally they probably don't want. But still, at the same time, I know that he wants to be a part of this football team. I thought it was good that they communicated back that he does want to be here and he wants to keep working on this thing.
We'll also hear more from John Robinson. He denies contact with Tom Brady's camp this offseason.
Did you ever have any kind of conversation with Tom Brady's camp?
No, I mean, we signed Tannehill.
Well, you signed Tannehill, but that doesn't mean that you had contact with Tom Brady's camp, right? You could, Mike Vrabel was talking to him courtside at a Syracuse basketball game. So isn't that considered contact? Right? I still don't get Tennessee giving Tannehill 4 and not giving Tom Brady 2. But maybe in that conversation with Mike Vrabel, Tom Brady said, "Braves, even though I love you, I'm not going to play for the Tennessee Titans." And then finally, let's get to the last cut. Here is Patriots head coach Bill Belichick offering some coronavirus advice from his home. This is all via the Patriots Twitter.
Hello, this is Bill Belichick. I want to reach out to you in these uncertain and unprecedented times to let you know that I and the New England Patriots are behind you. We are all in this together. Thank you to our heroic medical professionals, doctors, nurses, medical workers, and others who are selflessly and courageously doing their job to take care of others in need. We have heard your stories and seen some of your great work. You are truly champions and warriors. We are facing a difficult opponent. It will take teamwork, discipline, and commitment to do the right things all the time. That includes staying at home. I encourage everyone to shelter in place for as long as necessary as we fight this virus together. There are plenty of things we cannot do right now, but let's focus on what we can do. We can adapt, we can adjust, and we can make better decisions right now for the betterment of the future. As I tell our team, let's keep stringing good days together, and we will get through this.
That is the most classic Bill Belichick tone. Well, I guess there's only one Bill Belichick tone, because even when he wins, it's the same tone as compared to when he loses. So Belichick giving good advice, but you could tell it's the most scripted thing. He's reading off this script, and he maybe has like a prompter up or some oak tag with the words on it and all that. And there goes Bill Belichick, and it seems as if you're in a room getting lectured by him before you're going out there and ready to play. Let me just clarify one thing on the John Robinson denies contact with Brady. Here's one out on this. Tannehill did sign that contract technically before the start of free agency, or they agreed to the terms. So maybe John Robinson himself didn't have contact. But the organization as a whole, you correct me if I'm wrong, Stu. Was Brady and Edelman sitting courtside and FaceTime with Mike Vrabel?
Yes.
Isn't that considered contact? So you get a loophole from John Robinson. But once again, if Brady made his intentions clear that he wanted to sign with Tennessee, then that even makes this situation with the Titans even more baffling that they would agree with Tannehill on the 4-year deal. But ultimately, here's what I think would happen. No matter what's legal or not, Tennessee probably sniffed around, and maybe they got that answer from the Brady camp that he wasn't interested. That's what I'm going to have to go with and say. But if he was interested and they elected to go to Tannehill for 4 years, oy, yikes. Don't love that decision. Take a time out. When we come on back, some good news for Tua Tagovailoa.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
Saturday at 1:30 Eastern, 10:30 Pacific, CBS brings you the inaugural World Team Tennis Celebrity All-Star Match, as some of the sport's biggest names serve up some of the best action from the court, only on CBS Sports Network. And then also, let me remind you that CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Tua Tagovailoa underwent a voluntary medical red check Thursday that was facilitated by NFL Combine, and the results of the comprehensive exam, quote, from ESPN, were overwhelmingly positive. The quarterback representatives told ESPN's Laura Rutledge and NFL Network. So it was a voluntary medical red check that was facilitated by the NFL Combine. So he did not have to participate in this. If he did not participate in this, what would be the immediate thought? The immediate thought would be, well, your client is not that healthy as he's making himself out to be, especially coming off two bad injuries. So you go from there, and the wording of this report is, and it's not his medical recheck, because it was done by his doctors. There could be some skepticism, but it was done by the NFL Combine, and the results of the exam were overwhelmingly positive. But that quote, "were overwhelmingly positive," is coming from whom? The quarterback's representatives. So, even if he didn't test positive, would his team before the draft, less than a month from the draft, tell ESPN and the NFL Network that, you know what, these results, they were terrible. They stunk. He's not healthy. I don't think they would. So we don't know how encouraging this report is, but also I don't really think there's a great benefit to drastically fib here and drastically lie, because the recheck, according to ESPN, was performed by an independent doctor who was selected by NFL teams' physicians, and 32 team doctors and trainers were allowed to give input on the type of exam they wanted done, the reps told ESPN. So the teams are all getting the same results. Tua also said in an interview on Wednesday, "I'm 100% right now," and that he was ready to go. "I feel like if I had to go out there and perform the same way I did my sophomore year, my junior year, being 100% healthy, I feel like I'd be able to go out there and do that," he said. So that's what he said in response to if he could play as a rookie if called to do so. So I would say overall, even though you may have some skepticism because it's his camp releasing this, ultimately the teams know what the state is. And it seems as if this is positive. It seems as if it's very positive. So I'll actually tend to side on believing that this was an actual positive exam. Now, what does this mean for the NFL draft? It means to me, personally, and some teams may still be rich because they didn't get to go through the normal draft process, but you have someone that has been described as a great talent. Someone that, before the injuries occurred, was a lock to be the number one overall pick. So with all that being said, you need to make a decision. And off the maybe lesser information that you have at normal years, you don't want to be the team that passes up on Tua because you have a little bit of concerns and then Tua goes out to be a star. So I really do believe Tua Tagovailoa is going to be a top five pick. When we look at the five picks in this draft, you have Cincinnati at number one. I believe they're going with Joe Burrow. The Redskins at number two. The Redskins could look to trade that pick. They could take Chase Young, or they could draft Tua Tagovailoa. I still think the Redskins are going to go with Chase Young here. So then you got three picks left in the top five. The Lions have a decision to make. You take what you think is the best non-quarterback available. Do you trade the pick and get a haul back? Or do you draft Tua Tagovailoa, sit him for the majority of the year, maybe even sit him for the entire year, play Matthew Stafford, who's a good quarterback in this league, has been a good quarterback for a long time, get his stock back up, and then you could trade him in the next offseason and pass the baton off to Tua Tagovailoa. Personally, I don't think the Lions are drafting Tua. I believe the Lions will either trade and get a haul back, or the Lions will just take the best non-quarterback available at that three spot. The Giants, they're not taking a quarterback. They just drafted Daniel Jones. So do you take who the best player is on your board, or do you trade the pick? And that four spot is so important. And the three spot is two, because if you're a team, and let's just say it's Burrow 1 and Chase Young 2, if you are a team, for example, the Los Angeles Chargers, the Carolina Panthers, that are looking for a quarterback, and you want to jump past Miami. And remember, Miami, if they even get some noise from the Giants, let's say on draft night, that the Chargers call up and they make a trade with the Giants to go get Tua or try to make a trade, and then the Giants go to the Dolphins and say, hey, Chargers about to make us this trade. You're going to have to try to figure out if that's serious or if that's a bluff. Because Miami, let's remember, teams are going to try to take after Miami, take advantage of Miami, because they have three first-round picks this year and two first-round picks next year and some good second-round draft pick capital too. So how the Giants and Lions will play that game, if it goes as we think of Burrow 1, Chase Young 2 in the trade game, it's going to be very fascinating. Because the Chargers and Panthers could trade up to jump past the Dolphins at number 5 and get their quarterback of the future with Tua Tagovailoa. But if the Giants like a certain player and they don't want to trade, and the same with the Lions, then I don't see Tua Tagovailoa getting past the Miami Dolphins. So a good update on Tua T, Tua Tagovailoa. You know, Mike Francesa calls him Tua T. But I like to say his full name in Tua Tagovailoa. He's going to be a top 5 draft pick. I'd be shocked if he's not a top 5 draft pick. And if he falls out of the top 5, I'd be stunned if the Chargers don't take him at 6. And the last possible way that he could fall, unless if his medicals are just garbage, which they don't seem as if they are, would be number 7 to the Carolina Panthers. So I really do believe he'll be a top 5 pick, but if I end up being wrong, which is a possibility, then I don't see a single way how he falls out of the top 7. I don't. Now, who could possibly make a trade up to 4 with the Giants? Someone that we could be missing here. Someone that's looking for a quarterback. Stu, do you think the Raiders have any shot of trading up for Tua Tagovailoa? They have 2 first-round picks.
I could definitely see them trading up for a quarterback. Whether it's Tua, Herbert, or Love, I'm not sure, but I could definitely see them trying to trade up to like 5th, 6th, 7th, somewhere around there to try to get one of these quarterbacks.
Yeah, because if you have Burrow go 1, and let's say Tua goes 5, Herbert or Love, maybe they could go 6 and 7. I don't know if they'll both go 6 and 7. I'd be surprised by that. But it wouldn't shock me one of those quarterbacks goes 6 and 7, and then you could get, you know, you look at after that, let's say you have 3 quarterbacks in the top 7. Let's just go with that. So then let's go, it's in Burrow, Tua, and Herbert. So then Love's available. And let's go with that the Raiders really like Love. Cardinals don't need a quarterback. See, Jacksonville does. But is Jacksonville going to take that quarterback with them probably being bad and having Trevor Lawrence next year? So maybe Jacksonville could be a trade spot. Cleveland has Baker. The Jets have Sam Darnold. And then you got the Raiders picking there at 12. So it wouldn't shock me if the Raiders had to move up a little bit from 12 in that 11, 10, or 9 spot to get that quarterback. But then yet again, it's not a lock that Love goes in the top 11, first 11 picks of this draft. It's also not a lock that Herbert goes in the first 11 picks. Because you could have the Chargers and the Panthers both bypass on taking a quarterback. Now, when I look at other teams that need a quarterback that could look to trade up, Indy does, but Indy doesn't have a first-round pick, I believe. Yeah, Indy does not have a first-round pick. So, because they traded away to San Francisco for DeForest Buckner. So San Francisco, they're going to be picking at 13. Broncos have Luck. Buccaneers have Brady. Do you maybe, I don't think, you know, if you love Jordan Love, do you sit Love for 2 years and let Brady play? I don't know about that. I think you go draft a player that could help you win now. Falcons, probably not thinking about moving on from Matt Ryan yet. Cowboys at 17. Even though they haven't got a deal done with Dak, I think they'll get a deal done with Dak. Raiders then pick again at 19. Jacksonville's at 20. Jacksonville has two first-round picks. Eagles have Wentz. Vikings have Kirk Cousins. How about the Pats? Could the Pats move up? Saints have Drew Brees, but they love Taysom Hill. Vikings, once again, they just... Vikings have two first-round picks on the Diggs trade. Vikings just locked up the Cousins for another 2 years. Seahawks are fine with Wilson. Ravens are fine with Lamar Jackson. Tennessee just drafted just signed Tannehill for 4 more years. Packers? I don't think they're thinking about the end of Rodgers yet. So, you know, another thing, too, if you look at a team at San Francisco, San Francisco now having two first-round picks, if they want to move up and go get another elite player, now, if I'm San Francisco, I'm picking a wide receiver somewhere here in this draft. I am. I would pick a wide receiver in the first round. But you got some interesting, obviously, combinations on the table. We could do this all day with the NFL draft. Once I start going through the draft order, I'll be lost for about 4 or 5 hours. We'll take a timeout, though. When we return, we'll end up the show with the closing bell, some positive stories and some negative stories in the world of sports.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Oh, my God, we're back again.
Winding down on a Thursday. It's crazy with how slow the world is moving right now, or the way I feel it's moving. I'm kind of surprised that it is a Thursday. It doesn't feel as if it's a Thursday. So maybe it's moving a little bit faster than what I think. So I'll have a big Friday show coming up tomorrow. Scott Pioli will be one of our guests. And we're also going to have Jalen Johnson as well. So we'll have a good show for you tomorrow across all the same CBS Sports Radio affiliates that you're listening to right now, Sirius XM 206. And also the radio.com application. We end the show each and every day with the segment that we call the closing bell. If you're a new listener to a program or a returning listener, never heard this segment, at the end of our show, it's a few stories that get a stock up. Those are positive stories. And then there's a few negative stories or funny stories that go against someone's way that do get a stock down. So let's ring that New York City Stock Exchange bell, please. Stuart Kovacs.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Let's start with the positive. This is from the New York Post. Scientists at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine believe that they have found a potential vaccine for the new coronavirus. The researchers announced their findings Thursday and believe the vaccine could be rolled out quickly enough to significantly impact the spread of the disease, according to their study published in eBioMedicine. The vaccine would be delivered, and this is how they try to test this out, on small fingertip-sized patches. When tested on mice, the vaccine produced enough antibodies believed to successfully counteract the virus. The scientists say they were able to act fast because they have already done research on the similar coronaviruses, SARS and MERS. So there you go. Nice work. Hopefully this is true. And you have the vaccine being delivered on these small fingertip size patches. Hopefully they will end up working and we will end up fighting the coronavirus. And I really, really do hope, fingers crossed, that we do have a vaccine. But nice work by the scientists at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. They get a stock up. Next one. Adam Thielen. He's donating $100,000, is also partnering up with a Minneapolis radio station to host a virtual radiothon. So a nice job as athletes keep on stepping up to the plate. One of them, of course, is Adam Thielen of the Minnesota Vikings, and he gets a big-time stock up. Also want to give a stock up to Al Horford. This is from Shams. He's donated $500,000 to aid the coronavirus pandemic in his home country of the Dominican Republic, as well as each U.S. region in which he has played basketball. That's Michigan, Gainesville, Florida, Atlanta, Boston, and Philadelphia. So we give a stock up to Al Horford. Also, a stock up to Tom Brady's new neighbors. That's right. Tom Brady. Imagine him moving into next door to you. Well, that's what he did in Tampa. And he actually is living in Derek Jeter's home. Yes, Derek Jeter built this property. So Brady arrives in Tampa from the Tampa Bay Times, and he's moving his family into a 30,000-square-foot mansion on Davis Islands, and it's built by Yankees Hall of Fame shortstop Derek Jeter. The home, which the Brady family is renting, features 7 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms, I wonder if they have a few bidets, and an entertainment room, a billiards room that wraps around a pool with 2 boat lifts, providing access to Tampa Bay. So what a home for Tom Brady. The estimate value per Hillsborough County tax records, which tend to be conservative, according to Tampa Bay Times, for this home is over $14 million. And the 2019 tax bill after the homestead exemption was $226,000. $751.78, more than what a lot of folks paid for their homes. So we'll give a stock up. If you're Tom Brady's neighbors, you get a pretty significant athlete moving in when you already had one there. But that must be pretty cool, having Tom Brady and his family move in. We will also do one more stock up, and that's going to go to New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft. They flew the Patriots team plane to China last night into the early hours of this morning, and they brought back over 1 million masks. I think I read it was 1.7 million. So that's going to help out Massachusetts. And Robert Kraft also elected to send 300,000 N95 masks to New York. So Robert Kraft doing a great job here as the Kraft family used the Patriots team plane to shuttle 1.7 million N95 masks from China to Boston from the Wall Street Journal. Excellent, excellent job. Robert Kraft helping out his area and also New York too. Let me get to the negatives. I love Kendrick Perkins. He was awesome with us when he joined us in studio. But Kendrick Perkins had a little bit of a problem when he went to the store to try to buy something. His credit card declined. Perkins says, "I get my credit card bill back after it was declined." And he comes out to find that he got $16,000 worth of Fortnite bills on his credit card. It was from buying skins every day, whatever that is. I don't even know what it is, Perkins said. So you had his kids playing Fortnite. Stu, do you play Fortnite? I know you're a big video gamer.
I'm not a Fortnite gamer, now.
So you're not a Fortnite guy. I played Fortnite maybe less than 5 times, I would say. I'm not a huge video game guy. If I play video games, it's pretty much just Madden. But I guess you could buy, I would imagine, skins is certain clothing or certain maybe gadgets that makes you invincible in the game or is able to protect you longer. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But how did his kids, wow, that's when you know your dad's rich. Yeah, you know, we'll just keep on playing. Yeah, dad will pay for it, don't worry. And the next thing you know, it's $16,000. Woo! Kendrick Perkins. I know he could afford it, but that's an awful way to find out. Yeah, you go to the store, you got to buy something. I can't buy this now, my credit card declined, and you find the bill. $16,000! Oh, what is this for? What ring did my wife buy? Well, what'd they buy the kids? What crazy dinner did we go out to that maybe I forget? Wait, it's for Fortnite? Oof, That's a tough pill to swallow. Stock down, unfortunately, to our good buddy Kendrick Perkins. From NBC News, Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia, admitted on Wednesday that he had only just learned that asymptomatic individuals can still spread the coronavirus. Even though health experts had warned about the possibility as early as January, Kemp, who once again is the governor of Georgia, in a press conference on Wednesday said the fact that he just learned that information contributed to him issuing a statewide shelter-in-place order in Georgia. Kemp said that he had in just the last 24 hours learned, quote, that the virus is now transmitting before people see signs. What are we doing here? Seriously? Now, there's some times where I'm behind the eight ball on something, or you say something and it's dead wrong, or everyone's talking about something, you're out of the loop, but you are literally the governor of Georgia. We are in a pandemic right now. And you're just finding out on Wednesday? Oh, that asymptomatic individuals can still spread the coronavirus? Have you talked to other politicians? Have you talked to any medical experts before Wednesday? Do you watch the news at all? Hey, a big fat stock down to Brian Kemp. Be better.
You idiot! Get back in there at once and sell, sell!
And I'm going to add one more to the party. I got to give a stock down to the Ivy League, as the Ivy League still will not change its athletic policies to accommodate graduate students even after the cancellation of the spring sports season. The Ivy League ended up getting right, canceling their Ivy League tournament. But this one, even though they got one thing right, doesn't mean they got this one right. Bad job by the Ivy League. Stock down.
You idiot! Get back in there at once and sell, sell!
It's the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. Very, very fun Thursday show. I would like to thank Mark Ross for joining us. Also, the legendary Hall of Fame coach in Gary Williams. If you missed any of those interviews, you can catch every segment, every interview that we do on the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio by going to my Twitter, at Zach Yelp, and going to the link in my bio, or also going to CBS Sports Radio, where you could find all those clips. A big thanks to Stuart Kovacs, D-Ben, and also Mikey B, and each and every one of you for listening, calling, and tweeting. And one more time, the final poll results between these four AFC teams who didn't make the playoffs last year, who is most likely to make the NFL playoffs in 2020? The Browns, Steelers, Colts, or Chargers? The final calculations, Chargers 11%, the Colts at 25%, the Browns at 30%, and the Steelers at 34%. Be safe, everybody. We'll be back to entertain for you tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Once again, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Everyone, please, please, please be safe during these challenging times. I'm out. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.